Fancy listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I am delighted to welcome John Garvey, who is General Chairman of the 1916 Easter Rising Commemoration Committee, United Irish Counties Association of New York, announcing the book. It's 1916 commemoration book. John Garvey, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian, and good morning. It's great to be on your program again.
Well, let me tell you, there are many in this community looking forward very much to this weekend in particular, and indeed for in the months ahead, for the entire year of 2016, commemorations will be taking place throughout the United States. But tomorrow is a very significant day, and one that a great addition to the events tomorrow taking place, John, is your book on the 1916 Easter Rising, New York and beyond. Let me just ask you about the project which you undertook, and in fact many would have assumed that somewhere in the last 100 years, a concise book record would have been published to point out the influence and the significance of the United Irish Counties and their contribution to the Easter Rising.
Well, I mean, the project started really at the beginning of 2015. You know, when we heard that. We were told that, you know, that the Irish government would like events to take place out here commemorating the 1916 Rising. And it was brought to the floor of the United Irish Counties Association, and the usual happened. A committee was formed. I personally recommended somebody who accepted the job, and a wonderful person, and couldn't do it because of personal things, political activities, and so on. So it came back to me by default. Anyhow, we put together this committee, and the mission was to determine what was out there regarding the United Irish Counties Association and its affiliates regarding the 1916 Rising. So we set about immediately to research what's out there. And we wanted, first of all, to find out if the United Irish Counties Association had done anything for the 1966 50th anniversary.
Yes.
And we couldn't find a single thing. What we sort of discovered was that many people from the United Irish Counties Association and the individual counties were on other committees, but that's all. But the United Irish Counties had nothing specific that they themselves did, and as far as we could see, not many counties or not any counties themselves. So that's where we stopped.
The committee and acknowledgements, indeed, the easiest thing that I see here perhaps would be to run through the contents of the book itself. And Stephen Butler produced the foreword, okay.
And in addition to that, he was our text editor, and a wonderful text editor as well.
Yeah.
The introduction, of course, is by me,
uh-huh.
And the overview, Jerry O'Shea. Jerry O'Shea is he's the centennial book chairperson.
Yes.
So there's a link there between the two of us, and he has done magnificent work in this book and this project. He does the overview, and he also does timeline, which is wonderful. And then he, in addition to that, he does articles or essays, we call them, on the individual 1916 leaders in America that who had connections with America. That's five of the seven signatories and three additional markers. That's eight of the 16 who are markered.
Wow.
Had connections with America. Either they lived here or visited here for a number of times. But whatever what was, it was significant.
Yeah. John, I want to ask you, again, in terms of the timeline, the leaders, when you say we were always of the opinion, yes, they came here and passed a hat, so to speak, gathered some money. But actually, in this book, it shows that they had a lot more input than just coming over and throwing fundraisers.
Well, they did. I mean, if you start with Tom Clark, really, fundraising was always there. So I would say that would be either they were escaping the British, or like Devoy, or they were fundraising. There was no question about that. So there is fundraising. I would say would be the primary. And of course, when you talk about fundraising, you have to skip over to 1914 to Pierce. Pierce came out here fundraising for St. Enders. However, in addition to fundraising for St. Enders, he didn't neglect his other passion, and that was republicanism.
Okay, now explain St. Enders to us somewhat that way.
Well, St. Enders was a secondary school. We call them, you and I went to secondary schools, which we called college. And I believe one of the reasons for calling it college is it's a five-year course. That would be the first year of entry to university level education. Now, his was, he called his one a college also, and it was revolutionary. He was way ahead of his time. He actually went to Belgium to orient himself into bilingualism, and then he came back with all these ideas, advanced ideas.
Yeah.
And so he set up this St. Enders.
Was there any political connotation associated with St. Enders?
Well, I mean, eventually it did.
Yeah.
And
but that wasn't the purpose.
That wasn't the primary purpose. The primary purpose was an educational philosophy. He has been written about this aspect of his life has also been written about way advanced. So, but anyhow, it was always in financial trouble. And he came out here in 1914. He went around to all of the, there was a whole mix of groups that he went to, including the county organizations, some county organizations, including Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And your uncle, Bill, is the one who was at the meeting that he attended soliciting funds for St. Enders. So, your Uncle Bill and your Uncle Paul carried the story on. But as you know, your Uncle Bill came out here in 1910,
mm-hmm.
and of course your other uncles, his brothers, some of them, I don't remember how many there were, two or three of them here before
right,
him,
yeah.
And the Sheridans. They were all members of the Mayo Men's PNB Association.
And the Bohola connection.
The Bohola connection is right. And there's another little story, too, that I might have time to tell you about because it's very interesting regarding Martin Sheridan. But anyhow, he visited us. He visited the mailman. Now, I'm not certain if they contributed. I did try to document a contribution, and there is no documentation on that. But he did visit Tyrone, and they did, like $10 or something like that. But $10 at the time was a great deal of money. Mm-hmm. So, then when, of course, Pierce went back, not only with the money, but about $3,000 in a total collection, from anywhere he lectured at, whether it was New York or Philadelphia or Massachusetts or Chicago, he went back with a total of about $3,000, which lasted another year or so, and then he ran into difficulties again. But he went back with, not only with money, but with these radical ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So again, America influenced the rise.
Now, the radical ideas, again, which many would say, you know, came from New York, had little to do with St. Enda's, but more to do with the diaspora and the animosity that existed, you know, from people like Bill O'Dwyer and the Sheridans, the O'Dwyers, the Sheridans, and obviously many of our own ancestors who had left Ireland with a bitter taste,
mm-hmm.
because of the British occupation. Is there any evidence that Pierce or any of them, for that matter, who were here, were influenced by, you know, the discord that they were finding here? Was that considered to be where the interest and where the money would be for the rising?
Well, I mean, Conor Gael was the, I mean, that was the boys' group as well. They evolved from the Fenians, and they were militant. That's the issue. There was militancy out here, and the likes of Pierce brought that militancy back with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Dubois and
Garrity, by the way.
Yes, yeah. You're writers on the 1916 leaders in America. You've mentioned Jerry O'Shea, but
mm-hmm.
with Jeremiah O'Donovan Rossa, Mike McCormick, historian Mike McCormick, undertook that chapter. How did this work in terms of you as general chairman? Was there did your writers choose? Did the names go in a hat? How did Mayo Driscoll?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Again, you know, a committee works as a committee. You chit chat and you know, you generate ideas. You know, we decided on the format of the book. Of course, the orientation had to be the United Irish Counties Association and its affiliates.
Right.
There had to be some connection with that.
Yes.
And take, for example, Jeremiah O'Donovan Rossa. He was actually a member of the Cork Men's Association.
Yes.
So there was a strong connection there. And Mike was the man to do the job. Well, Mike could do many a job.
Mm-hmm.
Dermot Lynch, for example, he was another great Cork man.
Yes. Mayor
Driscoll did a fine job on him. And, mm-hmm. you know, very often, I mean, he had been a kind of a forgotten person, but he was a very, yes. very important person. And he lived out here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a sort of courier, bringing back funds, and then finally he went over and
mm-hmm.
settled there, and he fought in the 1916 rising.
McCartan, if we can move to Patrick McCartan, also not a very well-known figure, but definitely he was, consummate, diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was, I say, somebody that very few would know, except those who might have, had studied the rising itself and the American connection. Some of what you have now was, in fact, not known at all before. Nobody had, the reference points must have been interesting.
Well, yes, I mean, there's virtually nothing written on Jim Edmund Lynch.
Jim,
For Memories of Samurai by myself.
Yes.
There were many articles on him, and he's an interesting person as well. He had four brothers, and there were five brothers altogether, including him and his father. And they came from an interesting background. They were from Cavan Town, and they were well-to-do there.
Mm-hmm.
The grandfather, Sam O'Reilly's grandfather, was a big hotel owner. And his father, of course, he had been out here, by the way. And
mm-hmm.
He had come out here also, guess what, fundraising in the 1890s. And then he returned to Ireland. And, of course, Sam sport at the GPO as well. And he had an interesting connection with St. Enda's.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the revolutionary spirit of St. Enda's. Well, there's
yeah,
a connection.
Was, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So he was delegated to train some of the students in the use of arms, and specifically the short Mauser, the Boer Mauser, which was a short Mauser.
Yes.
And so... that was his function. But in addition to that, and that was not too far before the rising.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he had different functions and so on. And eventually, he wound up in the GPO. All six male members of that family participated in the rising,
yeah.
which was very, very interesting. So yeah. were other families, Galway as well.
Ed Shadlin, by the way, who writes on John Kilgallen.
Yes.
John the Yank Kilgallen.
Yes, a Mayo man. Both parents came from Mayo. And when Pierce came out here on his fundraising tour, he also advertised this unique educational approach. And said that, he talked about standards and so on, all of the virtues. And so somewhere he met Luke Kilgallen, who was John's father. And John, I believe, was born in 1891. So by the time he came out, so that would be 1891. He was older. He went in as on a certain level student. But Pierce was very happy to have him because it meant that he was getting fresh funds, tuition from America. And there were a number of them. I think there were three or four. But anyhow, Ed writes about John. He did fight in the GPO.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, Sam O'Reilly mentions him as being, Sam O'Reilly says, that he claims that he wound up on top of the roof of the GPO in command of the snipers mm-hmm. there. And he mentioned a number of people under his command, and one of them was our friend Kilgallen.
John, I'm going to move rapidly here because on the... on the patriotic organizations and the communities, John Ridge, noted Irish historian, indeed, he writes on Irish county associations, the GAA and the nationalist movement in America, which indeed had spent 40 years establishing, and very well established here in the United States. That's written by Frank Brady.
Yes.
Kamen Amman, the transatlantic revolutionary movement. That's Dennis McCarthy.
McCarthy, yes.
Yeah, and the Carmelites.
Yeah.
Of New York and Irish struggles for independence. Mm-hmm. The Vincent Begley,
yes.
And indeed finally the response to the rising in Connecticut.
Right.
An amazing book which is being launched
mm-hmm.
on the very significant tomorrow, Sunday. And there is an event, we're all more than aware of the Irish government's event taking place beginning at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning down in Battery Park City, the commemoration. But actually, the launch of the book is taking place at a late lunch, early dinner session in Phyllis Inn on that tomorrow from 3 to 7. At Anton's?
It's at Anton's. It will be from 3 o'clock to 7 p.m. We have a guest speaker, Dr. Michael Dorley, who I understand is an exceptionally fine speaker.
Yes.
And actually, John Ridge will also be speaking, including a short talk from Maureen Murphy, the great Dr. Maureen Murphy.
The great, yes.
Hofstra University.
Yes.
The reception chairpersons are Mayo O'Driscoll and Mary McMullen. And tickets are they're still available. Mayo O'Driscoll, 718-891-0388.
One more time, John.
From 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
And Mayo O'Driscoll's number?
Mayo O'Driscoll's number, 718-891-0388.
A busy weekend for you and indeed for all of us in the New York City area. Can't wait to see the book, and I know that it was probably worth waiting the 100 years for. Again, congratulations to you and indeed to all. And by the way, hundreds, more than 200 people are already heading for the launch of the book tomorrow. John Garvey? Again, I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of you today and tomorrow. And thank you again, and we're looking forward
to it. Thank you very much, Adrian.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.